This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mental Health Monday is an informational podcast and should not be used to replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a healthcare or mental health care professional. Mental Health Monday can't be held responsible for the use of the information provided. Please, always consult a trained mental health professional before making any decision regarding treatment of yourself or others. Self-help information and podcasts and information on the internet is useful, but not always the substitute for professional assistance. Unless otherwise noted, guests of Mental Health Monday are not doctors or licensed in any way. Our hope is to make a connection with you and be more open and honest about everyone's mental health. Thanks for checking it out. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, we could almost throw out that disclaimer this week because I have a returning guest this week for Mental Health Monday. He was back on episode 30. He is Drew Dyerson. He has a Master of Science in Clinical Mental Health Counseling from Marquette University. He's a licensed professional counselor. He's a board-certified telemental health provider, and he's a nationally certified counselor. His area of specialty, PTSD and anxiety. Which I'm sure all of us have dealt with anxiety at some form in the past year. And a lot of people have been through some trauma, and PTSD also affects a lot of people. Drew deals with both, and his practice, PodHealth, the website PodHealthLLC.com. And this is going to sound a little bit different because I pulled the audio from a Facebook Live that we did. So if it sounds a little bit different, that's why. If you want to see the video and you want to do that, you can go to my Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/RiggsRadio. Or you can just keep listening. That's fine, too. Drew Dyerson, so tell me a little bit about what you do with PodHealth.
So PodHealth is a mental health counseling practice that I put together, started it at the beginning of this year. And PodHealth is really focusing in on combining counseling and exercise and getting the best out of both of those and how they work together.
You specialize in PTSD and anxiety, correct? That's kind of your wheelhouse. What got you interested in that being your specified?
Yeah, it is it's quite the journey. The I guess to put it kind of briefly, well, started off really not knowing anything about mental health till like college. And so college was kind of a up and down journey too. I went to a college out in California for a year, and I might be giving some secrets here to my family, but skipped class all the time.
Wow.
And yeah. So I ended up, I like telling this story too, because I think it helps a lot of people sometimes, especially clients, where I pretty much failed out of college. I had a 0.8 GPA my freshman year. So then I got a second chance at college and started taking some psychology classes. Really, I really give a lot of credit to my mentors to kind of pull me in this direction. Yeah. Dr. Matt Krug from Wisconsin Movement College, and then Dr. Chad Wetternick, who works at Rogers. I really just kind of gravitated towards those two men. And really from there, you know, started my counseling career. And I always wanted to be a coach growing up. So I had a professor at Marquette tell me, well, being a therapist, you're kind of just a coach, but you're not doing games. This is real life. So that was like, oh, okay, I'm set.
Nice. You were a quarterback too, weren't you? Did you play
high
college ball?
Yeah, I played some college football.
Right. I Googled you. It came up. I was like, oh, wow. Nice. It was a quarterback. Cool. Well, let's kind of get into the conversation. PTSD and anxiety, two pretty big ones. A lot of people deal with anxiety, and it's been an anxiety-riddled year for a lot of people. So much uncertainty. What's happening? Am I going to get sick? Is my family going to get sick? There's so much to worry about. What's going on politically? You have something on your website I wrote about. It's called cognitive diffusion. I think it's very interesting. It's a great way of dealing with anxiety. So can you explain a little bit about what cognitive diffusion is and how we can
do
that?
Yeah. Cognitive diffusion is probably my favorite thing to talk about, because when I learned about it, it blew my mind. So I feel like I can bring that same level of like aha moment to other people. Cognitive diffusion comes from the acceptance and commitment therapy realm, which is basically just a form of CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy. And diffusion, we usually just call it diffusion for short, basically is learning how to step back from your thoughts to watch them unfold. Kind of like, you know, you watch cars driving by or clouds floating by in the sky. And it creates, we're trying to create this distance between us and our mind. And we know that, you know, science has shown 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts every day. That's the average human mind. Yeah, 60,000 to 80,000. So if you try to sit there and control all of those thoughts, it would take up all your time. You wouldn't have time for anything else. And even if you did, you probably wouldn't be too successful at that.
Right.
So rather than trying to control thoughts or like say, I don't think about that thought, that's a bad thought, let's just let all of the thoughts happen and then create space from them. And the ones that are helpful, you can keep closer to you. And the ones that aren't helpful, practicing some acceptance and creating that diffusion of that distance.
So is it good to hold on to the unhelpful ones, or what do you do with the unhelpful ones? Because there's so, I'm willing to bet that there are more unhelpful thoughts than there are helpful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So do you push those away?
No. So that's the tricky thing here with diffusion. We're not trying to push anything away. And the way I like to talk about it is kind of like avoidance is enemy number one. If you ever find yourself trying to avoid something, then acceptance and commitment therapy would kind of bring us into like, well, let's lean into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so diffusion is not about pushing thoughts away or stopping thoughts from happening. It's just creating some space for you so that you can do what's important to you, so you can do what matters.
Yeah. Are there some common triggers that you see with your clients that kind of spark, like, it's people in anxiety spirals? And what are some things that some people can do to kind of control those triggers or be aware of them, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. and manage them?
Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of people, and this is usually one that they kind of miss. When we're dealing with anxiety, the body trains itself. It gets into these habits where something triggers that and our body has the same response every time. So a lot of what I'm doing in counseling is bringing awareness to that. Like, hey, you feeling anxious right now. How's your body feeling? How's your body reacting? Because a lot of times what happens is people won't really even notice the trigger, but they'll notice their body reaction, and then they'll get anxious because their body is feeling that way. So we spend a lot of time like feeling the heart rate, feeling the sweat. Like, a lot of times I'm just sitting there with people as they're experiencing anxiety and kind of letting it go through that anxiety wave.
Nice. I think one of the big things of anxiety, and myself, I kind of suffer from this, is being a people pleaser. Always worried about what other people think all the time. Are there some tips you can give to the people pleasers out there that have a lot of issues with this?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was thinking about this question, I viewed it from this PTSD trauma lens, and that people pleaser, we call that a schema. And basically a schema is a framework that has been set up for how you interpret the world, how you organize and filter information. That can cause a lot of problems if your filter is set in a bad way or in an unhelpful way. Yeah, I hate to say bad. I don't want to judge things good or bad. Yeah, but this filter that we have, this schema, is set up in an unhelpful way. And even to the point where if there's something that challenges that schema, if schemas are strong enough, it'll just crush it or just ignore it. And so this people pleaser schema comes up a lot with, especially in trauma, because they're trying to avoid something. A lot of clients are trying to avoid feeling vulnerable, trying to avoid feeling any sense of danger. So if you please all the people around you, therefore you feel safer. it that gets you into a lot of hairy situations where you can't please everybody. Right. So yeah, that people pleaser one really comes up a lot with the trauma. That one I really like to go back to cognitive defusion with. And I don't know how much time we have. We could do a little exercise here if you're up for it.
Yeah.
All right. So,
by the way, we have, people are typing in questions. I see them. We'll get to those very soon. So don't think I'm ignoring them. We'll get to those momentarily. Nikki and Abigail, Mandy and Nicole, they've got some questions. So we'll get to those in a second.
Great. All righty. So you're going to be, we're going to do this together. And because if I do it alone, it'll just sound really dumb.
Okay.
To really feel what cognitive defusion feels like, it's like over 100 years old now. I forget the psychologist who came up with it. Basically, repeating a word over and over and over till it loses its meaning. That's what we're doing.
I've done this before just to be goofy.
Yeah, and there is a goofiness to it. And so when these things, the opposite of defusion is fusion. So these things get connected pretty tightly. And so all we're trying to do is just kind of pull them apart just a little bit. Okay. So I'd like you to think about a nice cold cup of milk.
Got it.
Get that picture in your mind, you know, what milk tastes like, smells like. If you like it, you're probably like, oh, that sounds good. If you hate it, it's like, ugh, gross.
Love milk.
Yeah. So you get all of those physical feelings. That's all part of the fusion, just like anxiety causes reaction in the body, fusion there. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're going to do is repeat milk out loud for 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
30 seconds. We're going to go milk as loud, not as loud, but loud and as fast as you can for 30 seconds. We can probably just go 20 just to get the feeling of it, though.
Okay, cool. I'll start right now. Milk.
Yeah. Milk, 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 a little faster. Milk, 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 a little louder. Milk, 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 cold, creamy, glug, glug drink.
I don't think about it anymore. I'm just thinking about how weird that we were saying the word milk over and over again.
Exactly. And before, right before we started that, milk brought up this crystal clear image. This is what milk is. And then we did that and it just kind of like faded off in the distance a little bit. Yeah. That's what defusion is. The milk is still there, but we have some space from it. And,
right. And there's not much of an emotional connection to it either.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if for 1 second you laugh at like, what am I doing here? I'm repeating milk out loud. It just, that's that little bit of gap that we're trying to create there with defusion.
I like that.
And you put in a people pleaser type of thought where, you know, if you're trying to make everybody happy and you do something that makes somebody upset, you might think, oh, I'm stupid. You can repeat stupid, 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 till it starts to fade off in the distance and there's it doesn't have that much power, that weight over you.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great exercise. So pod health, you say two peas in a pod, mental health and physical health, which I love, which is very true. Now, what kind of exercises are good for anxiety or like that trauma? And does it need to be like overly exerting exercise? Like, do we need to throw around weights or start training for Ironman competitions? And can you kind of talk about the relationship between the two? What's good for it?
Yeah. So right now, the research that's out there, and this is some of the research that I want to build on top of as well. Right now, we know that it's about 65% of your max heart rate. So for me, to calculate your max heart rate range, you take 220 minus your age. And so then we want 65% of that number. So for me, that's like 125 beats per minute. And doing that for about 12 minutes, 12 to 30 is kind of what is out there right now. I've been doing a lot of 12-minute, you know, quick, go for a brief, moderate exercise, kind of walk in sessions with people. Yeah. And I'm really seeing the cognitive enhancements of that quick, short exercise. So about 12 minutes has been working wonders right now. A second study that really kind of brought this all together in my mind a couple of years ago, I was reading about the depression. And there's been a lot of research on exercise and depression. One really showed 30 minutes of walking on a treadmill for 10 days decreased depression scores the same, if not more, than antidepressant medication. Wow. And to me, working in a hospital setting, I was like, that's gold. That is helping people without the side effects of medication. And yeah, some people need medication. Like, everybody's a little different. And this was more in the moderate depression range. So severe depression is a different game. But that moderate range of depression for 10 days, like, that's a really quick turnaround for a lot of people.
Wow. Let's transfer over to some PTSD discussion, because that's another one of your kind of your specialties. Aside from the general PTSD that everybody thinks of, like, you know, veterans coming back from war, first responders, people that are involved in car accidents, are there other types of PTSD that people can maybe experience or be experiencing and not know it if they haven't experienced something huge? Are there small things that can cause PTSD?
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to mind, you think of those big things, like especially war and things like that. But for honestly, the PTSD that I see and the traumas that I see are not anything like that. Yeah, you get the car accidents and things like that. But really, and I wanted to make sure I get the wording right, so I had to write this down, because this comes straight from the DSM for diagnosing. Anything that is either directly experienced or witnessed or occurs to somebody that you're close with or that you love, anything threatened of death, violence, accidental injury. So a lot of these things can get missed.
Assault survivors and probably victims of rape.
Mm-hmm.
Incest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even recently with COVID, the amount of nurses that I've seen has gone up too, because they are also suffering from some PTSD where they were exposed because of their work to these potentially deathly virus. And that's a clear, like, hey, that's a criterion one trauma right there.
Well, my mom works in healthcare, and she's had, I can't tell you how many times she's had to hold someone's hand while they're dying because their family can't be there.
Yeah.
That's got to be traumatic. Just watching someone else die when their family can't be there.
Mm-hmm. And so, I would add to that too, just from a personal experience, you know, the events of my son being born were pretty traumatic. And I don't know if I would have diagnosed myself with PTSD, but I definitely experienced trauma because of somebody close to me that almost didn't survive.
Yeah. So you're a therapist, a counselor, you obviously, you know, help a lot of people and you're giving a lot. And you just mentioned there, you may have had some trauma yourself. So what do you do to kind of make sure that you maintain your own personal mental health and you can kind of maintain that compassion resilience, I think what they call it, mm-hmm. being able to care and help for others while not neglecting yourself entirely. So how do you do that as a therapist?
This one, there was a clear moment that I remember having a change of heart and a change of mindset on this. When I learned that LeBron James spends $1 million taking care of his body every year, that was like, Why can't I spend 5 minutes washing my face? Why can't I spend, you know, 15 minutes doing something that's going to help me feel better mentally and emotionally? So that, like, self-care, really, I've really come to understand the importance of that lately. And so a lot of the little things, washing my face, like I said, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, getting good sleep, those might seem, you know, too ordinary for self-care, but those are the building blocks of it. And then from there, I, as best as I can, practice what I preach. Anything that I'm sharing in a therapy session, I've probably used it for my own mental health, including the exercise, including the cognitive defusion that we worked through. That's why when I said, like, when I learned about defusion, it blew my mind, because from that moment on, I had a different relationship with my own mental health.
Nice. Cool. Well, I'm going to pop into some questions we had here from people.
Yeah, let's do it.
We had two questions from earlier, and then we got a couple in the comments here. The first one I'll throw up right now is, Drew accepting new patients?
Yes, currently am. I have a couple of the bigger insurance companies. I'm contracted with them, working on a couple more. The availability right now, I have in-person sessions up in the Cedarburg area on Tuesdays and soon to be Thursdays, and then I also have virtual appointments Monday through Friday.
Cool. And what's your website for people in case they want to know?
Yeah, you can go to podhealthllc.com.
pothealthllc.com. Cool. This question was from somebody earlier. I don't remember her name. I should have written it down, but I didn't. She says, I suffer from anxiety and depression. I find at times I feel very unmotivated and I don't feel like doing anything. And I blame myself thinking that I'm lazy. What causes this? And what are some ways to push through those feelings?
When I hear this come up in sessions, a lot of times people will attach that self-sabotage wording to it. And I truly believe that there is no such thing, not no such thing. Self-sabotage is actually really, really rare. But what really is happening, and to answer this question a little bit more specifically, I feel like there's a gap that's happening there. So you know where you want to be and you recognize where you are. So there's this gap that's been created. And when we don't just automatically do the thing that we know we're supposed to do, that's when we say, well, I'm self-sabotaging or I'm a failure or something like that. What really is happening, though, when we look at it from a counseling lens, from a cognitive behavioral therapy lens, is the path to get there isn't clear enough or the steps aren't small enough. And then committing to doing those really tiny steps to get to where you want to be. And I go back to my early training at Rogers. One of my first clients, we literally, like, her part of her depression was, I can't clean my house and I know I need to. I literally had to break that down with her to, okay, Tuesday, you have to take the vacuum out of the closet. That's it. That's all you have to do. And really, like, we break it down that small, because otherwise, when the steps are too big, depression makes those things feel so much harder than they used to be or than you want them to be.
Yeah. I think I commented to this woman and I suggested also making little lists of things that you do and then crossing them off, because nothing feels better than crossing something off a list knowing that you've done it, because it's done. You get this sense of accomplishment. You're like, oh, my God, I did even four things. Like, I took the vacuum out. I took a bath. I took the dog for a walk. I brushed my teeth. Like, take those things off of a list. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah. And all of that's backed by research too, which is what I love.
Another question we had, somebody said, I'm currently a hairdresser and a college student studying to become a therapist who specializes in PTSD, right up your alley. They want to know, what's the best approach to take when someone that you know comes to you about a major trauma that they've faced? She said, sometimes I feel like just saying I'm sorry and feel like I'm not saying enough. What can I do?
I read this one in the comments ahead of time, and I really wanted to reach out to this person and say, there's a reason people are coming to you. So maybe becoming a therapist is the right role, because clearly there's some qualities and characteristics about you that make you a safe person to go to share these things. So you really have that.
Hairdressers are always therapists anyways. So
yeah. And from there, you know, you have the core characteristics or ability, you just have that it factor that is helpful, then is kind of this releasing yourself from responsibility. And this was tough for me. And this, again, like going through grad school, having to kind of do some self-reflection about, when I go into these situations, it's not my job to fix somebody. It's not my job to, at the start of the session, from start to the finish, like, cure them and make them happy. It's about being with them deeply through the process. And that it takes a little bit of time. If these are people that you know that are coming up to you, you can use what you know about them to help. And really, you're just really building up a deep empathy with them. And there's an illustration that one of my professors put up on the board one day. And he drew this picture of a well. And, you know, at the bottom of a well, pretty mucky, dark, scary, kind of gross. He said, the people that you meet with, a lot of times they're going to be at the bottom of their own well. And your job as a therapist is not to go down there and live with them, but you go down with them when you're meeting with them. But you have a safety rope attached to you that you can pull on and get yourself out of when you need to. And I think that kind of resonated with me when I read that comment about going down into the depths with them. There's not necessarily the perfect thing to say, but just being there and then going back and visiting them, like checking on them randomly, you know, hey, how you doing? Just thinking about you today. That those actions go a lot further than any one thing you could say.
Following up with is such a huge thing. I've had friends lost loved ones, and they've reached out to me just for some grief support and an ear to talk to. And I circle back with them a week or so later. Hey, is everything all right? How are you doing? How are you feeling? And they've always said they love that because you don't forget about them, you know. Because some people think, oh, you just talk to me now, you don't want to deal with me anymore because I'm a burden to you. But reaching back out and saying, hey, is everything all right? That's really great. I like that you said that. We do have a couple questions from the comments from Mandy. Mandy says, I have complex PTSD and anxiety. Are there any techniques besides breathing that I can do to deal with my triggers? Thank you in advance.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Wow, let's see. My gut says, hey, let's do some cognitive defusion work. Really, complex PTSD is a beast. And so thank you for being open and sharing that, by the way.
Yeah.
That's usually why I say, hey, let's get into some therapy. Let's find a counselor for you, because while this is a great platform, that might be a little bit deeper than where we can go now.
Sure. What is complex PTSD? How does that differ from regular PTSD?
Yeah, complex PTSD, usually we think about like repeated traumas or multiple traumas, including anything related with childhood trauma. Usually that kind of gets flagged as the complex trauma.
Yeah. We got another question from Nicole wondering about kids. So wondering if you have any suggestions for 13-year-old or kids with high anxiety, but they aren't comfortable taking medication.
Okay. My view on anxiety is it's a problem with mental context. And to describe that a little bit more, our minds have the ability to, wander off into the future or remember the past, but our bodies are eternally stuck here in the present moment. And so when our minds are going to the future or when our minds are going to the past, it's creating this tension or this friction, and our body is feeling all of that stuff right now in the present moment as if it was happening again. And we see that with PTSD. If there's a kid that's really struggling with anxiety, first it would be a lot of understanding, like where is their mind? Are they thinking about the future and worrying about upcoming things? Are they having memories or thoughts about the past that are causing some problems? And a lot of mindfulness training, which is a lot, I do that with pretty much every client that I see. We practice training up this mindfulness. And that goes a long way as kind of that first baseline technique that I would use for anxiety. And then you can throw on top of that mindful breathing. That's a great add-on to just kind of general mindfulness training.
Nice. Well, thank you, everybody, for the questions. That's what we have from the questions. And I really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy dude, but you're doing good work. And Pod Health LLC. Thank you. Pod Health LLC is the website. You are accepting new patients, and you specialize again in PTSD and anxiety. Drew Dyerson, thank you so much for your time again. You're a great. I love when men are talking about mental health. You know me. I love men mental health. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I do really want to give a shout out to my wife. She has helped me. She's freed me up to go chase after this thing that I'm so passionate about. She's inside right now with our little 2-year-old running around. So thank you, Kate. I love you.
Behind every successful man is a very passionate, dedicated woman.
Yes, I can fully agree.
And vice versa, too. So thank you so much, Drew. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
You can find out more about Drew. He is accepting new patients. Go to podhealthllc.com. Thanks again for listening to another Mental Health Monday. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your weekend, your night, your day, whatever it is you happen to be doing. But remember, always, always make good life decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.